It's
No,
not a
don't leave it to
problem.
me. I'm just brainstorming it together with you to find out what your criteria is. We have a lot of customers. I'd say most of our customers prefer to invest for a minimum of 4.5-5% before tax. So for them, that completely rules out Tokyo and most of Osaka, or definitely central Osaka. But we have other clients who are just looking for 2-4%, and they prefer the stability and the potential growth in Tokyo or Osaka. But I mean, growth is anyone's guess, right? Like, we've had a good 15 years, but that's on the back of 25 years of deflation. So I don't know to tell you that growth will continue for the long term. What I can promise is rental cash flow yield, but that's a lot higher in other cities. Hi there, folks, and welcome or welcome back to Nippon Trading International's Japan Real Estate Podcast. I'm your host, Ziv Nakajima again, and this podcast is brought to you, among others, by Emil Gorgis of realestate.jp. He's a Tokyo real estate agent who specializes in serving international or mixed nationality families who are looking for the perfect family home. So Emil's an Australian. He's been living here in Japan for over 2 decades now. And for about half of that time, he's been buying, selling, and managing real estate properties in Tokyo on behalf of his own family and a great many happy clients. And he also acts as a mortgage broker on behalf of his clients. So he's got dedicated loan officers in many of the Japanese mega banks. And if you're a regular listener of the podcast, you probably already know him from our JREP, the Japan Real Estate Experts panel sessions, which means that you're already aware of the fact that the man is an absolute fountain of wisdom on all things related to real estate in Japan, and in particular to family homes, the greater Tokyo metropolitan area, and mortgages. And most importantly, he's incredibly generous with his time and advice, which he's more than happy to provide at no cost or commitment to anyone asking. So if you've been thinking about buying your home in Tokyo, but you've been sitting on the fence for a while, or you just want to have a chat in English with a real expert, drop him a line on sales@realestate.jp. Hit him up today and start exploring your options. All right, so just a quick heads up on the spring session of the Japan Real Estate Summit. Again, before we dive right into today's episode, you already know it's in 2 weeks' time at the beautiful Hotel Pullman in Tamachi, Tokyo, and online. And you already know the phenomenal speakers and sponsors roster we've got laid out for you. You can see the topics for their presentations and, of course, buy tickets at summit.realestate.jp. And as mentioned, they are selling fast. So whether you're attending in person or online, you probably want to get over there and book them ASAP. So this time, just to give you a quick cap on those presentation topics and the agenda itself. So on day one, we're kicking off with Emil Gorgis from realestate.jp, and he'll be running us through the basics of properly evaluating Tokyo family homes before purchase. So things like working out the right budget, location, property types, and long-term planning. Then Shumatsu Post and Brett Lee from Akia Hub will give us some data highlights and buyer profiles for 2026, as well as a case study on a supposedly free property that they've recently dealt with. Alicia Kin Wang, after them, from Axolotl Capital will give us some updates on some exciting new loan offerings, investment loan offerings for non-residents, which have now expanded to condo units. Blanca Kobayashi from ARC Reform will teach us some of the do's and don'ts and strategic planning that's required to successfully get a renovation done on time and on budget. Chai Kanda will lay out some higher ticket hospitality investment options for boutique hotel investments in Kyoto. And then we'll finish off with a Q&A panel featuring all speakers, which is usually one of the highlights of the event, and head off to the gala dinner, which is sponsored by MailMate. So John Cross, founder of MailMate, will be there with us, of course, and available for any of you who want to have a chat about the remote post and bill payments services. With us as well will be Robert Miller from Innovatius.com, who'll be able to provide any information about digital assets and online presence management for you. Now, the gala dinner, again, requires a separate ticket. So do be sure to sign up for that one separately from the event tickets itself if you're attending. And those tickets are also available on the ticketing page at summit.realestate.jp, of course. So on day two, Sunday morning, we're kicking off with Mark Drapkin from Yen Loans, who will be telling us about their very exciting financing options, which for the first time allow non-residents to also borrow for holiday homes and short-term stay properties. as well as to leverage existing assets into all kinds of non-real estate related financing and loans as well. After him, Matt Ketchum, the OG of Akia Hunter and founder of Akias, will talk about strategic acquisition and management practices that create additional value for seemingly valueless properties, which is really what he's best of. Tracy Northcott from Tokyo Family Stays will lay down the groundwork for would-be short-term stay investors who are entering the Japanese market for the very first time and what we really need to understand before pulling the trigger on that type of investment. Then right after lunch, superstar financial advisor and founder of the Retire Japan web portal and online community, Ben Tanaka, will educate us on some very unique tax oddities and quirks in Japan that'll probably help many of us avoid some very unpleasant surprises that we may not be aware of. I know I definitely wasn't. And speaking of me, I'll then be finishing the day off, or almost finishing it off, with a talk about unique deal dynamics that catch many first-time buyers, and honestly, even experienced buyers who may be wondering why things aren't going their way. Things that are, again, very unique to Japan and working with Japanese realtors, lawyers, scriveners, sellers, property managers. This one should also be very handy for first-time Japanese property professionals who are looking to work with foreign clients for the first time, because yes, we have our quirks as well. And then finally, the last Q&A session of the summit with all of our experts on the stage answering all of your remaining questions live. Now, these presentations and sessions are all just half of the deal. So during almost every main keynote session that's taking place in the main room, the breakout rooms will also be hosting sessions by all of the main speakers and their teams. So you'll need to choose between the main room keynote session and the breakout sessions, which will consist of everything from additional case studies, hands-on workshops, private consultations. If you need to discuss your individual circumstances, that's the place to do that. And product demonstrations, including our new investment deal analysis system that my partner Bob and I will be proudly showing off. And thank you, by the way, to all of the users who have already signed up for the open beta testing. If you want to jump in there at half price before the official announcement at the summit, hop over to jre-invest-eval.com. Tatemono IQ will also be there with their portfolio analysis and realtor tools, which are a fantastic system for larger portfolio investors and real estate professionals. So yeah, between the main room and the breakout room sessions, the Q&A panels, the lunch breaks, the networking time slots, the gala dinner, and of course the after party on Sunday night, promising to be the best summit yet. So if you still haven't secured your ticket, again, now's the time to do that. Only 2 weeks left. So pause this episode now, hop over to summit.realestate.jp and secure your in-person 1 day or 2 day or streaming ticket. We will not be able to sell tickets on the day. Never have been. So no tickets on the day, no tickets at the door. Again, to be clear. So summit.realestate.jp is the only way to get that done. And the sooner the better, because as I mentioned 2 days ago, Saturday in-person tickets at least are almost sold out, which also means full weekend tickets will potentially sell out with them. All right, so for today's episode, two back-to-back conversations again. This first one is with an awesome entrepreneurial investor who's been living here in Japan for the past 6 years, originally from Colombia, and he's married to a similarly, actually surprisingly, even more entrepreneurial and adventurous from the sound of it, Japanese spouse. And they've established a corporate structure, started buying small condo unit investment properties here, like a lot of us start off with. So we review the property profiles they've been investing in, the numbers, we break down the realtor commission structure, and we discuss short sales, which are quite common here in Japan, review their investment loan options and the advantages of getting a taken, or official real estate brokerage license, where to find potential investment listings, and also a bit about ourselves, how our services work, what kind of projects we're personally invested in, our personal preferences when it comes to short, medium, long-term rentals, which then led us to discuss the practicalities and challenges of running a short-term stay property business here in Japan, the feasibility of flipping as an investment strategy here, different investor profiles and personalities, and what kind of compatible strategies exist for each of those. So creative versus conservative, hands-on versus hands-off, and so forth. So really good under-the-hood kind of conversation with a fellow investor, which I think you'll enjoy. And don't forget, one more call coming at you right after this. Okay, so I'm looking at your LinkedIn, at our LinkedIn correspondence, but it's not telling me much, so I'll let you give me the whole background.
Well, I have been living here in Japan for 6 years. I am a software engineer here in Japan. I came here because my wife is Japanese.
Where are you
So
from originally?
I am from Colombia.
From Colombia, got it.
Yeah, I'm from Colombia. We met actually in Australia with my wife. And after that, yeah, we got married and yeah, we came
Same
here.
as me and my first wife. Where in Australia?
Perth.
Okay. Very
What
nice to
did you
hear.
meet your
I
first
lived
wife?
on the Gold Coast for about 10 years, and that's where I met my first wife too.
Wow,
Yeah.
that's coincidence. That's a
Yeah.
coincidence. Where are you
Well, I mean,
from?
with the amount of Japanese coming to Australia to surf or whatnot, it's not a big coincidence, is it?
Yeah, that's true. There is a lot of Japanese. Yeah.
Pretty popular here. Okay,
So
yeah,
where?
so you met there and you got married and now you're living in Japan, yeah?
Yeah, but actually we got married. She came back to Japan. I came back to Colombia. We got married and we started the visa process.
Okay.
That actually took quite long. So after that, yeah, we moved here to Japan
So
together.
you're on a PR now, on a permanent residency?
No, not yet. I had a spouse visa.
Okay.
Export visa, but yeah, I mean, many things like Japanese like process and Japanese like governmental pension and everything is
Yeah,
under my
I'm just
company.
thinking from the perspective of mortgages, whether it's for investment or anything else. It'd be nice to get a loan, but with a spouse visa, you'd have more limited options. It's getting better, though.
Yeah, that's right. Actually, yeah, I have been investigating in for loans,
Yeah.
some real estates send me message. But they say like it's much easier to get one having a PR.
Yeah, but you're on the way to a PR, and I'm guessing you can show how long you've lived here, and that, you know, whenever you qualify, you're going to show them that you're going to be qualified, and then you're going to apply. So a lot of lenders would be considering you, not all of them, but definitely I'd say about half of them.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, but right now, actually, with my wife, we started a corporation for real estates. Actually, it's been like 4 years we started actually investing in Japan.
Okay.
The first property we bought it was a loan, but it was from my wife. It was individual, as individual, not a corporation. We
Oh,
started.
the Jutaku loan, like a home residence.
She's Japanese, so yeah, it was home to get
Yep.
advantage of the interest. It was really
So
low.
close to zero interest and 100% payable by the lender, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Yep.
It was full loan actually. It was 100% loan. We bought a small room mansion in Fujikawa. We live in Yokohama, so we tried to actually buy properties around Kanagawa area.
Yep.
And yeah, this was our first investment. It was like we used the home loan, really low interest, and it was 100% loan. Actually, we lived there for like 1 year, and then we moved from the property that we are living now here in Konandai, that is still Yokohama.
So then, did your loan change from a home loan to an investment loan? Did you need to reapply for a new loan? How did that work? I'm just curious.
Actually, no, we didn't reapply. We tried to sell the property because this was the recommended way to get the next loan for the next property. So we posted for selling, yeah. But you know the offer was quite low, so we just decided to rent it. And anyway, the other bank just approved the other loan, so it was okay at the moment of the process. So
Got
we
it.
got one for this property plus the other. But I had to I was warranty of this one. I mean, the condition of the loan of the property we're living is if I would be the warranty for my wife, and they can give me the loan. Because at that point my wife has really low income, yeah. So they see like mostly my income, and then they say, okay, we
Okay.
can approve the loan like this. So she
Got
approved
it.
for the loan, that will be like the warrantor for the payment. So it
Got it.
was okay.
Okay. And then you bought some investment units too.
Yeah. After that, we created a corporation, but we decided not to get loan because it's quite dangerous because it was variable interest.
Yep.
Yeah. For this property that we invested with a loan, it was okay. We are making not good cash flow, but we are making, I mean, it pays the loan. Yeah. Plus the expenses of the maintenance and repayment fee that you have to pay here in Japan. and the taxes and insurance covers everything, and it left like, I don't know, like around 15,000 yen per month after paying it all. So I still get some cash flow. We decided to buy like maybe cheaper room mansions, with high yield. And I mean, there is many reasons. First, because getting loan was quite complicated. And the second is because in Japan, the properties tend to lose value over the years. I mean, if you are not living in Tokyo, it tends to get.
So you're netting 15,000 after you've paid all the building fees, the property management, whatever, and then you end up with a net before tax of 15,000 ichiman gosen.
Yes. 15,000. I mean, maybe a little bit more. A little bit more than that because I included the taxes that we pay. So
So they're studios or 1R, 1K kind of small units with a single tenant.
the first one was a 52 meter square, so it has
Okay.
a family room. Because we were living there, we just moved and rent the other. But after the corporation and we were for, I mean. The first after this investment, we think about families, and we bought another property like 50 meter squares in Sagamihara.
Okay.
Isehara, sorry, Isehara is like kind of metropolitan area of
Yep,
Yokohama.
yeah.
I mean, and but we discovered actually that it's higher yield 1K, like 60 meters room. It's even much cheaper, maintenance, everything. So you can actually increase your yield. So we decided, like, instead of buying like family room, buy like 1K. And with the same strategy, like buying around like Kanagawa, when we see a good offer, we just
So what was
apply.
the yield? What's the yield like? What kind of percentage compared to how much you bought it for?
Well, I mean, it depends. Some of them, like, if you don't include. After, I mean, you don't know, it's the gross, some of them like 26% yield, but after net, it reduced to 12, 11% after reduce all
That's
the tax.
still not bad.
Yes, it's still
Yeah.
good, yeah.
It's a lot better than what I get these days. Well, how old are the buildings?
Around the first property we bought it, because we bought really cheap, and it was a big one, it was really old. We bought it was like 50 years old, it was really old. It was quite risky, but it was really well maintained, and the same community was the same people who are living there are doing the maintenance, so it's quite cheap. And they have really good, like, good buildings, everything is fixed, everything is really fast. After that, when they have like management by other companies, it tend to grow a little bit the maintenance fee. But still, you can get good offers if you buy cheap. I try to negotiate. Usually, when I contact, I mean, my wife usually does. But I
But
say,
are they 30, 40 years old buildings? How old are the structures?
after that one, we tend to buy 35 years old property, 1K room, 35 years old. So we hold like at least for 10 years. And then sell it
But
if
then
we.
when you resell it, it'll be over 40. So do you resell it for a lot less than when you purchased it for?
I hope not, because we try to reduce negotiate the price. But if we had to sell
But I mean,
less than that,
the building fees would have gone up over time after 10 years, right?
and also probably the maintenance has increased, so probably we need to sell it cheaper. But I hopefully after 10 years, the only we're renting the property is already paid, so anything we
So
get
you're
big
definitely
bonus.
in the green. I mean, I'm just asking these questions because that's usually the strategy that we recommend. So I'm curious. I mean, you're buying a little bit older and selling a little bit older. But otherwise, it sounds like you're getting higher rental yield, but that probably some of it would be taken off by the lower resale price, right?
Usually we were focusing in like four, I mean 3 to 5 million property price, range price.
So that would
And
have to be 35 plus. I get it.
we try to negotiate the price to at least reduce the closing cost. Like here in Japan are quite high, because usually also the buyer is paying commission to the real estate.
Yeah, so you're trying to negotiate for what, 10-15% off if you can?
So sometimes, for example, the last property I bought it, I actually bought it in 2 millions. And it
Really?
was 3 million.
Okay.
Yeah, it was posted in 3 millions.
Yep.
Yeah,
That's nice.
Yes, but it was just lucky because of the situation. It was end of the year. I mean, we just purchased it like in December. I mean, December, and they were in hurry to sell because it was kind of, it was LandNet. I don't know if you know the company.
LandNet, yeah, we worked with them a lot of times, yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of a huge company, and sometimes why they don't charge commission sometimes. Yeah, because they are the like kind of.
They buy them and sell them themselves, so they don't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's quite like owner change. They had the owner, yeah. They say,
yeah, the tenant is already in there. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean the seller. And they say they buy it, yeah. And then they resell it again.
Okay, so they short sale, they sign an agreement with the seller, and then it goes through them and they don't charge a commission. Okay, got it.
And we were lucky because they were in hurry. So when I see that, I say, okay, we can get more down. Yeah, because I, at the beginning, I offered like 2.6 million to reduce like this huge building cost.
Yep.
Yeah. And then when I realized that, I said, no, maybe we can reduce and then we can get it up to 2 million. So we could negotiate really, really well because of the situation. But not always like this. It's quite complicated to negotiate. You have to be really lucky, but you can do it sometimes.
And how's the population in that area? Isegawa, did you say?
Well, this last property is in Yokosuka.
Okay.
So it's really nice because it has the American...
But the population is declining in Yokosuka, or at least it was. I didn't see the latest census. It'll come out in a couple of months. But so up to 2020, the population has been in decline.
Yes,
I mean, the military is there, but the locals, not that many, right?
Yes, but still, you can find tenants because it's a good spot. For example, it's the beach, nearby, and there is a lot of shopping centers and a lot of restaurants.
Mm.
It's quite attractive to the people. But even if declining, I think it's really close to the station. It's like 6 minutes to the station.
Yes, and near the main station would always be okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think it will be okay. I mean, it's already rented. When we bought it, it was already rented. So.
So look, you know what you're doing. From what you're describing, you're following exactly our policy. A little bit more adventurous, but you live here and you're hands-on. So of course you can allow yourself to be a bit more adventurous. And then, what do you need our help for? Sounds like you're on a good track.
Well, I mean, I wanted to connect because I wanted to meet more people like in this business.
Yep.
Yeah. I see you had this the summit.
Yeah. Are you coming to the next one? It's in April.
Yeah, actually, I'm really interested in that. Here, for example, I was watching the videos. This is how I actually discovered you because I was just searching in the internet about real estate.
Oh, that's good to hear. Thank you.
Yeah. And I saw, like, okay, there is someone, like, actually hosting this kind of events, and I started to watch the videos. And I said, okay, there is a... And I started to watch, like, for example, for taxes, that is for me... I'm still learning because there is too many things, about taxes. We are actually managing ourselves, everything. That's why we need to study a lot.
Yeah.
So all this information is really good. Yeah, if I get it, I say, okay, I can apply.
You know, the bigger the portfolio gets, the less you'll be able to manage it yourselves. Eventually, it has to be outsourced.
Yeah, that. For the moment, we have seven...
Or you hire staffers to take care of it either.
Hmm. But I think we are not yet in position because we only have seven properties, and to hire maybe we need probably to get more like cash flow, and I think we are not getting much yet. Right? I think we need to increase our portfolio.
Mm-hmm.
And about the loans, also I want to get knowledge about loans and. How can I increase my portfolio? Is it possible? Using loans and all this stuff because this is my weak point because we have been doing like cash and home loans. We haven't done investment loans yet. Actually, we once applied to GFC. I don't know if you know GFC, like Japanese corporation, financial corporation, something like that.
We interrupt this broadcast to tell you about Tokyo Family Stays. They're a short-term rentals company in Tokyo, and they offer a home away from home experience, which is just perfect for remote working, quarantining, if that's still a thing, or if you just need somewhere quiet to get away from the world. They offer a variety of options for families, corporate relocations, or even if you're simply transitioning between homes in Tokyo. The properties are super comfortable, tastefully furnished, fully equipped with all amenities, and they accommodate up to 10 people. So really the only thing you'll need to bring with you is your toothbrush and maybe a change of clothes. They come with fast, unlimited wireless internet, dedicated workspaces, and fully equipped kitchens. And they're just a delight to stay in. Fantastic alternative to Japanese business hotels, which if you've ever stayed in one, you probably know. They're tiny, they're noisy, fine for a night or two if you're on your own. But longer term or with a family, you'll probably feel you're in a jail cell very quickly in a Japanese business hotel. So if you want to give yourself a sense of space and freedom by renting a real home, with comfortable Western beds, including all the necessities like baby bedding, children's toys, high chairs, etc., you definitely want to reach out to Tokyo Family Stays. They've been at it for over a decade. They're a fully licensed minpaku or short-term stay operator. And as a special bonus for our viewers and listeners, they're also throwing in a breakfast basket upon arrival for anyone who books and mentions the Japan Real Estate Podcast or NTI. And not only for guests, if you're a property owner, you've got an investment property that you want to tweak for higher profit, or a holiday home that you want to rent out when you're not using it via short-term stays, drop them a line today. See how they can help you maximize your property's income. And again, as a special bonus to our viewers and listeners, they're also offering a free audit of your existing short-term stay listings without any obligation whatsoever. So feel free to reach out to them at tokyofamilystays.com. Well worth a visit. And again, if you're in the market for a family home in or around the Tokyo metropolitan area, Emil's your man. Don't be shy to reach out to him as well at sales@realestate.jp. And now, back to the podcast.
Something like that.
How long are you holding those units that you've got? Not the ones that are renting out. How long are you holding them for now?
Oh, the first one, we bought it like 4 years ago and it's still renting. The tenants actually have been really good. We actually had a few issues, really a few, but once was the aircon, it broke, so we just replaced it.
Yeah.
In one of the properties, and yeah, this is the only issue we have.
But so really, I'm just asking from a lender's perspective, if you've got investment properties that have been generating positive cash flow for the last 2, 3, 4 years, your wife still has a salary, I'm assuming, right? She's still working, or?
No, she's in maternity leave.
And how about you? Are you on a salary?
Yes. I get salary, yes.
So you should be in a position to borrow for an investment loan, I think, under the company name with yourself as guarantor, same as you've done for the first one.
Okay.
Most lenders, I mean, some of them will just refuse because you're not a PR yet, but a lot of them will take you on because you're definitely en route to a PR and you've already got investments and a salary. Stable salary in the last like 3, 4 years?
Yeah. Actually, it's been increasing over the years. Because I have been,
you should be in a good position to borrow, I think.
Yeah, but I don't. This isn't my point. I mean, I don't know how to do it yet. Yeah, this is probably.
Well, you walk into the bank you've been banking with the most first, and you tell them, you know, the one that's been receiving your salary, they know your income, and you show them that you got the investment properties, and you're saying, I'm looking for an investment loan to expand the portfolio, and they'll either approve it or you go to the next bank. That's it. You just walk in and ask the question. And there's a couple of companies that will definitely take you on with a non-resident kind of terms loan, but the interest would be higher and they'd limit your choice of properties more, I think. They'd go for central, super central Tokyo, Osaka, Fukuoka, that kind of thing. So, and you're operating obviously better on the suburbs, I think, from what you've been describing. So the local or the mega banks in Japan would be your best bet. You just knock on doors and you ask for investment loans and you show them what you've got and they either take you on. I mean, it'd be good to come in with a Japanese face, like if your wife could join you.
Yeah. Actually, this is what we do. I manage like mostly numbers, like checking and see how we can negotiate or everything. And she actually like communicate with the real estate and
do
all this like all these Japanese.
If she's already up for that, then just take her with you and go to the bank.
Yeah. Actually, yeah, it's a team. She's doing really good like trying to buy, like negotiate, because actually this is what you're doing, like negotiating. I mean, I do the numbers and like explaining like in English how to do it, and she actually tried to negotiate and does all this, and she does really good. She
You
does really
sound like
good.
you're a good team.
Yeah, we are a really good team. Also sometimes she finds property. Yeah, she sometimes look and find and a check
So
and.
next step is for her to apply for the Taken license, and then off you go. You can do whatever you want.
Yeah, actually, we have been in this, but for the Taken is to use like rents, all these to sign contracts. Yeah, this stuff.
Yeah, but then you don't need to work with real estate agents. You are the real estate agents, and you can handle all of the purchases directly in front of the sellers. Or, I mean, it makes it easier to operate. And if you resell within 5 years, you're exempt from capital gains because it's under the company name. That's regardless of the license. That's already the case because they're under your company name. So, I mean, just things become easier when a licensed agent approaches a seller's agent or a seller directly rather than through an agent, and on the other side is a mixed gaijin family. You know what I mean? Agent to agent makes it a lot easier to close all those deals.
Okay, because
But it's a difficult test. I wouldn't like you're obviously operating well enough as it is. It's like 30 or 27% pass rate, I think. So it often takes a few years and a few attempts, but just if she's into it, because it sounds like she already is, it's a good thing to have.
yeah, actually, she had been studying about real estate in Japan. Actually, she had the books. Yeah, she bought it for this year, and I think she wants to do it this October. I think the text is this October, so she's preparing. But I'm not pushing her too much. Just like,
No, only if she enjoys it, of course. Yeah.
yeah, of course. But yeah, it will be great if we get it. I think I check a little bit about this certificate. I think she can get by the builder, but I think to use brains or this kind of a platform that you can actually do your own deals,
Yeah.
probably the conversation had to be
You have to
between
be a licensed agent to get access. Yeah.
yes.
But I mean, that database is only listings that agents already agree to share commissions with, right? So there are a lot of deals on the main investment property websites and other on where they don't advertise on Rains, which means that the seller's agent want to keep the entire commission for themselves, right? So if you approach them through a buyer side agent, a lot of them will say, no, we don't take buyer side agents on this deal. You just get more access to more of the market if you are the other agent, and you can say, yeah, I don't need the commission, and do you know what I mean? It just gives you access to more deals that way.
Okay, so I can if I am a license, I had a license by for the company, I can just contact directly another agency. Is
You
what
can
you
do
are?
it now too. If your wife is in the mood for it, you can contact those listing agents directly. Is that how you bought, or did you buy through a buyer's agent?
Well, actually, yeah, we buy directly from other real estates
Yep.
that example we use with I mean when we check we
Because
use.
Landnet is often a buyer's agent, right? I think they don't always have their own listings.
Yes, that's
Yep.
right. Sometimes we have some real estate sellers connection. One of them send offers often,
Yeah.
and sometimes we check ourselves in, for example, website like Rakomachi. Yeah, usually Rakomachi is like the best we
Yeah.
have found to find these properties. But there's a lot of Chukai companies. Yeah, that is more complicated the negotiation. So yeah, if we can find like by Kai, it will be much easier. And if the license allow us to find these kind of deals easily, maybe it's a good way
Easier,
to
definitely easier.
go.
Yeah.
That's a good point. Yeah, because sometimes the issue is we find a good property that could be really good negotiation, but we don't get the deals because of the
The middleman, right?
yeah,
Yeah.
it's
Yeah.
such a. That's good. That's a good
I
point.
mean, with our customers, for example, if they land on a property like that and the seller's agent says, no, we don't want to share the commission, then we work with buyer's agents who are, more foreigner friendly, bilingual, flexible. So they say, okay, well, I can just represent you as a proxy. You pay me separately. We're not going to call it a real estate commission. We'll call it a facilitation, translation fee, whatever. But in that case, the buyer pays a double commission, right? One to the listing agent, one to the buyer's agent. So it's only for properties that they really, really don't want to miss out on.
How much is you manage your deals? I mean, how is your minimum budget to buy a property?
Our company?
Yes, your company.
We don't have any minimums, but we have minimum charges. So even if you're buying a super cheap property, we still have a minimum that will, kind of like the agents do. Since last year, they charge a minimum 330,000 yen. Even if the property is 2, 3, 4 million, which would have been half of that normal on the normal formula, they'll charge a minimum of the usual formula from 8 million yen property. So even if the property is cheaper, you still pay them a minimum of 330,000 yen. We charge similar. So we have a minimum charge for whether it's consulting or representing you fully, depending on what you need us to do. But we do have a minimum charge of a few hundred or a few thousand bucks or to do anything that's relating to a single property purchase. But we're on top of anything you pay the agents. We're consultants, we're proxies, we're not... The realtors are the realtors. They charge for the facilitating the purchase, and we charge for keeping people out of trouble or representing them in Japanese if they don't speak, read, write Japanese, whatever they need us to do.
Okay, but you usually buy properties for your customers, but you don't buy properties by... I mean, you own your properties?
No, we do. Yeah, of course, we have our own personal portfolio too. Yeah, we have one building and another 10 or so condo units like you do. We're, you know, slightly involved in restoration projects and like crowdfunding Akia projects in the countryside, stuff like that. You know, some REIT stocks, like hovering around real estate with our own portfolio and other stuff that we invest in.
Okay. And usually when you go to big deals, for example, like let's say 100 million property, that probably is a building, I guess.
Like a new apato, right? Yeah.
Okay. How many units is, for example, 100 million?
The one that we bought a couple of years ago is 9 units in Futsukaichi near Fukuoka City. So within Fukuoka Prefecture, but not Fukuoka City itself. Just a kind of up-and-coming small town next to it. And that was about just over Ichioku, yeah. And that's 9 units, 3 floors.
3 floors? Okay, 9 units.
Yeah.
And do you use, how is your strategy? Do you use actually conventional renting, I mean long-term renting or short-term?
Yeah, because it's a brand new building, it was fully rented out. Oh no, 8 of the units were fully rented out before they even opened it officially for the tenants, like what was still, finishing up. New is always popular in Japan. You've been living here, you know how it is. So if it's a new property in a good location, you never have tenant issues, same as you've been having with your locations, I guess.
Yeah, but my question is like, do you usually find your tenants as a long-term tenants or like short-term?
Long-term. We do mostly long-term. Okay. Some of our customers like to experiment. So if they have a building and one of the units becomes vacant, they'll put in a Airbnb and then another unit becomes vacant. They'll rent it out by the month. They just experiment and see what gets them the better traction. And depending on how involved they want to be too, right? Like if you're doing medium-term, like monthly rentals or short-term rentals, you're going to be a lot more hands-on. There's, vacancy, occupancy rates, what's the competition doing, campaigns for this season or that season. It's not a full-time job, but it's hands-on.
Which one do you prefer to do it, like long-term?
Personally, I like the long-term. It's lower yield, but I don't need to think about them except when a tenant moves out, right? I can just like focus on the next deal or whatever.
Yeah, this is what I always tell to my wife because she wants to experiment with short term, but I say like, okay, we have this strategy that is working.
She sounds more involved than you, man. Let her have a go.
Yeah. I think sometimes she's really into, but I'm more like conservative. Like, okay, if it's working, maybe we should keep going.
Yeah, but I mean, it's one unit. You've got what, 3, 4, you said, right?
Right now, we have 7 units, all of them.
Oh, 7, right. You said 7. So experiment with one unit. Doesn't work. Put it back on the market for long term. What are you going to lose? Like 5 months of vacancy?
Okay. Yeah. It could be an strategy.
And I don't know. It costs maybe 1 million yen to deck it up nicely for guests.
Yes.
But I mean, that equipment, if you then turn it back into a long term lease, you collect all of that equipment or whatever's not fixed to the floor and the walls. You collect all of that and you put in the next unit you experiment with. So it's not going to be the same expense.
Okay.
But it's more work. She'll need to be up for it.
Yes. Also, the check-in, the check-out, you have to pay attention to that, right?
If you want to do it yourself or you appoint a short-term stay property manager, but they'll take 20 to 30% of what you're making.
Also, you need a license, right, for short-term?
Depends on the municipality and how near the property is to where you are. Some of them will allow fully remote management, the ones that are more Minpaku friendly. Some of them will want you to be within, 10 minutes from the property at any given time, and some of them will insist on having an on-site manager 24/7. I mean, it depends on how strict they want to be with that local municipality.
Okay, I see.
So there's a research phase too, right? Like for each property, you're thinking, okay, would this be an easy one to rent out on short term? And if it's condo units, you need the owner union to allow it. Most of them don't allow it. So you're probably going to be buying either houses or apartos. Can be, brand new for Ichioku, or can be secondhand for like Gosenman or whatever. But aparto in a good area that's, not super anti short term stays could be good bucks.
Yeah, now you mentioned, yes, mostly of our property doesn't allow like short-term renting.
Yeah, the condo units, 99% of them will not allow that. Yeah, and according to the law, if the owner union rule book doesn't specifically say Minpaku allowed, then you're not allowed. You can try to do monthly. They can't legally prohibit that. But if they don't like it, they'll make life difficult for the property manager or whoever comes over anyway. So it's better to work with owner unions that don't mind, and there's very few of them. So normally you'll need to own the entire structure.
Okay. What do you think about like flipping properties? Like you buy a property really cheap, you come and try to sell it. Is it good investment here in Japan?
It is, but you need to, again, it becomes a job. So it's not just buying it cheap. It's also getting cheap workers, cheap materials, have the connections to deck it out as cheaply as possible and put it back on the market with a tenant already in there, or, making it attractive to investors from the get-go. And you're competing with companies that have all of these resources. So you need to get your infrastructures in place to compete.
Okay, yes. Because I have been thinking also like different also business, like the real estate, but I like to make sure actually we can do it for our resources. Yeah, because there is always opportunities, right?
Yeah, it's a huge market with so many vacant properties that are basically being given away for free. If you get something cheap in a good location and you've got the budget and the mental bandwidth, right? Like you need to be available to get involved. But if you're willing to take on these projects, there's a lot of money. And guys like Shumatsu Post and Anton, you probably see them on the summit videos that you watch. This is how they make their money. They find these diamond in the roughs and they make a project out of it and they make a killing.
But they are focused more in Akiya, right? Like MT, abandoned housing.
Yeah, because again, you need to own the entire structure to be able to get the license and do what you want with it. So if you're thinking about short-term stay, Shu doesn't he focuses on IKEA because he's buying cheap and renovating cheap, and then he's leasing out long-term. Anton wants to do Airbnb in most of the cases, so he focuses on municipalities where it'll be easier as well. But you can do the same thing with multifamily units. You're not going to be buying them super cheap and renovating them yourself. You'll have to get a professional company to do renovations on a multifamily unit, on a multi-unit building. But you can still, if the area is good and it's not too old, you can still make a decent, 5-6%, like what you've been making with long-term leases on the condo units, on most of them, I guess. You said 11, 12, right?
Yes, but some of them, when I started, it was 7 to 6%, but we have been improving our negotiation.
Okay, so you'll probably be making money on the multifamily as they are, and then you can convert them to more creative types. But renovation projects in the multifamily building, I don't know, that's a whole level of expertise that I don't think any of the people who are doing projects that I work with do. So that's why I'm assuming Shu wouldn't do that kind of project.
Yeah, I mean, the point is that you need really good connections to do like reforming projects. Yeah, Airbnb, I feel like it's a lot of job. Yeah, I mean, the checking, the checkout probably start maybe like the furniture, cleaning.
Yeah, it's the more units you have, the more of an administrative logistics efficiency job it becomes. But if you go the other way, then yeah, you can buy a single asset, turn it into a project, be hands-on, make a lot of money from that one in that location with that sort of decking out for guests or what, and go short sim. That's also possible. It's more a case of what lifestyle do you want to be into, right? Do you want to deal with guests and interior renovations and stuff like that, or do you want to deal with Excel sheets and counting tenants?
Yeah, this is more like probably like, yeah, depending more on the person, right?
Yeah,
How
exactly.
like manage more, yeah.
Yeah.
I think I
It
would
sounds
prefer
like
more.
maybe your wife is more into the creative bits and you're more into
Yes.
the Excel sheet, which is very similar to my wife and myself.
Yeah, I think yes, it's exactly like this. Yeah, I'm more like checking. Actually, the property makes money, and she more maybe adventurous, like trying to. She likes actually, yeah, like seeing properties. All these renovation stuff and sites.
Restoration and renovation. Yeah, I mean, so I mean, that's what I meant in the beginning. It sounds like you're a good team. I mean, you can focus sometimes on that kind of property, sometimes on this kind of property, but you got the option to do both, right?
We can. Yeah, I think we can do that. I will like, I mean, checking first, like with, for example, expert like you, or like going to, for example, the summit that someone already is doing, like checking before actually going to take this step. Yeah, but yeah, it's, that's why I want to connect and know, because we have been doing everything by overall since we arrived, and it has been a long journey. And I think maybe a better approach probably is connecting with people and trying to get feedback and say,
Man,
okay.
everything I've heard is you're on a golden path. Just keep doing it. You picked up a good strategy. You're connecting with the right kind of resources. You're doing fine. It'll be a pleasure to watch you. But yeah, come to the summit. We'll introduce you to other people who are doing similar things. It's always a good brainstorming kind of environment.
Yeah, I will go. I definitely will go next one. Is it in March, you say?
April, 18, 19 April.
Okay,
Yeah.
April. I think,
If you
okay.
go to our website and the email from Hannah who booked the appointment for you, got our website, there's a link there to the tickets. If you pre-register, the tickets are still cheaper. So if you know you'll be in the area, it's worth getting them now.
Okay, perfect. Could you share the link? I mean, later is okay when you
Yeah,
have
just
time.
go to the last email you got from us. It's on the top of our website in the signature.
Oh, okay, perfect.
Nippon Tradings, nipponTradings.com. Yeah. A
Okay,
great
thank
talking to you, man. Thank you.
you. Yes, yeah, thank you for your time, Sip. Yeah, let's talk in the next summit.
Sounds good. See you in April.
See you.
Now, if you're actively looking at property in Japan, you should check out Akiya Mart. That's Akiya hyphen Mart, Mart, akiyamart.com. It's the Zillow of Japan, built for buyers who are actively hunting for a home in Japan and want a much more Western-style web browsing experience than the typical local Japanese websites. Now, we've got an exclusive 30% off promo code for the Akiya Mart Pro annual plan. That's the one that gives you full access to Airbnb zoning maps, hazard maps, sold data, and over 500,000 listings nationwide at any given time. So, if you're serious about buying in Japan and you want an easier way to search, this is the best tool that we know of. So, you can use my code ZIV, ZIV at checkout and get 30% off your Akiya Mart Pro annual plan at akiyamart.com. All right, now for the next call, this one's with a non-resident buyer, and he's looking at the cheaper end of the market. He also wants to invest, but he's interested in buying his first investment property for somewhere between 4 to 6 million Japanese yen. So we review his investment strategies. We try to determine where he should be investing within the country in order to achieve his personal financial goals. We discuss whether he might be eligible for an investment loan in Japan as a non-resident and discuss the tax and other related potential merits of incorporation here in Japan for the purpose of investing, all of the associated costs and procedures that are required for incorporation, the option that it gives you to open bank accounts in Japan, potentially for a non-resident, and how would remote management work for himself and other overseas landlords like him? Then also a little bit about a little bit more about our clientele and services again. So also a pretty thorough and interesting call. I hope to enjoy it, and I'll see you again one last time on the other side. Okay, so I read through your email. You were talking about an initial budget of 20 to 25,000 euro, which is, what's that in millions of yen at the moment, or in US dollars?
I think it's like between 4 and maybe 5.5 mil Japanese.
Okay, so that's going to be a small long-term lease condo unit or a very...
Yeah,
old, not good shape house, right?
Yeah, I have a few like strategies that I was thinking about maybe to raise the budget. So I was hoping that I can share my screen and maybe show it to you, because
yeah, for sure. Let me just give you permission to share the screen. Hang on a sec. Ah,
super.
Yep, go for it. You're assuming at my age I can read this fine print. You'll need to make it a lot bigger for me, mate.
Yeah, I will.
Yep, that's more like it.
Yeah, okay, so I'm working with like 500 or 700 Swiss crowns, which is like 20, 25, 30,000 euros from my own funds. And I can get like 2.5 million... loan from the Czech bank with some interest between 4 and 5%, and
that's going to be almost cash flow negative depending on the season.
Yep, and that's why I was thinking, like, okay, I can either buy maybe 3 units or 2 units for those amount of money and have maybe zero cash flow each month, but after 10 years I can have 2 apartments with zero.
How do you get to 10 years though? If you're making 5% a year, it's more like 20 years.
I don't know. I just checked the loan in my bank and it said like it's going to be 10 years. So
the loan is for 10 years, but that means if you need to pay the loan off in 10 years, you're definitely going to be cash flow negative, because you're going to get 5% in income and you need to pay more than that. If you only pay off 5% a year, that's 20 years, not 10, right?
Oh, okay. So that's not really an option then.
Well, I mean, it's an option if you want to pay out of pocket every month.
No, that's not an option for me. I mean, I guess it is, but it's not optimal, maybe. So that's the strategy B, and that's to buy the 1 unit.
In cash. Okay. That's not going to be Tokyo. That's not going to be Tokyo or Osaka, though. It's going to be a different city.
Okay.
Tokyo or Osaka, any property that I would recommend as a good investment property in Tokyo or Osaka would start at around 8, 9 million.
Okay. Okay, so that's maybe that's doable for me, because it's not not a lot of savings that I need to add on to my budget. So maybe.
But Tokyo and Osaka are pretty low yields. Can I ask why you're focused on those cities?
I was watching one of the lectures or the presentation from your site, from your YouTube site, and there was Anton speaking about renovating the Akias, and that's not the way I wanna go maybe, but he had those tables and he was speaking about the properties near Tokyo and Osaka and big cities, and they are going kind of up. The price is going up over the years, over the 20 years.
Yes, so, but Tokyo, Osaka, Fukuoka, especially Tokyo and Osaka, they've already gone up very significantly. There's other places that are going up a bit more slowly, but where you could still find good deals for this budget. In Tokyo and Osaka, maybe suburban Osaka, but definitely central Osaka and anywhere in Tokyo, your yield would be more like 3-4%, not 5-6%. So if you're okay with that, that's okay. But if you go Fukuoka City, Kyoto, Nagoya, Sapporo, Kumamoto, like some of the other medium or big cities, you'd get a better yield. Suburban Osaka I'd include, but not the rest of the city, and not definitely not Tokyo.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I can...
If yield is your concern, if you just want stability and you don't mind the yield is very low, then yeah, we can go for Tokyo, Osaka for sure.
I need to think about it, honestly, because I can leave it to you. I mean, it's...
No, don't leave it to me. I'm just brainstorming it together with you to find out what your criteria is. We have a lot of customers. I'd say most of our customers prefer to invest for a minimum of 4.5-5% before tax. So for them, that completely rules out Tokyo and most of Osaka, or definitely central Osaka. But we have other clients who are just looking for 2-4%, and they prefer the stability and the potential growth in Tokyo or Osaka. But I mean, growth is anyone's guess, right? Like, we've had a good 15 years, but that's on the back of 25 years of deflation. So I don't know to tell you that growth will continue for the long term.
Yeah,
what I can promise is rental cash flow yield, but that's a lot higher in other cities.
I mean, I know my budget is not high, and I know the monthly payments will not be big. So for me, it's just like...
No, but you're saying eight or nine. You're saying you could swing 8 or 9 million. So that does make Tokyo and Osaka a bit of an option. It's just a question of whether you want to put in 8-9 million and stay there with lower yield, or if you want to put in a lower amount and go to other big or medium cities for higher yields. That's the question.
Okay. Maybe I would like to stay near the big cities. I don't know Japan that well, and those big cities are for me like some sort of stable convenience.
But when you say big cities, when you say big cities, are you talking about only Tokyo or Osaka? Because Yokohama, for example, is bigger than Osaka. Yeah. But you haven't mentioned it, and Fukuoka is about the same size as Kyoto, or slightly smaller than Osaka, but you haven't mentioned that. So what do you mean by big cities?
That's a great question. I didn't think about that.
You're talking about famous cities if you're talking about Tokyo and Osaka, not necessarily the biggest ones.
Oh, yeah. I'm talking about the cities I went to, so maybe that's why... I'm focused on those cities, so...
You're the boss. We'll help you buy wherever you want to buy, but Tokyo or Osaka will have lower yields. There are better places for rental cash flow than Tokyo and Osaka.
Okay. We can sure explore that way. I mean, I'm not like straight for Tokyo and Osaka. It's totally fine.
Got it. Okay. Sorry, carry on.
Now, if you've attended any of our recent JREP Summit events in Tokyo or online, you've probably heard our sponsor, Robert Miller from Innovatius.com. He's been in WebDiz Solutions here in Japan for the past 25 years, and he's also an active investor in Japanese real estate property, as well as global online property, which is his specialty and what his company, Innovatius, is all about. They offer a full suite of website services for entrepreneurs and small business owners, including all aspects of web design and management, backup and updates, content formatting and editing, proactive maintenance and error fixing, you name it, with a strong focus on SEO excellence, which is what gets you those hardcore top-of-the-list search engine rankings. But there is a difference. Innovatius works off a simple, all-inclusive monthly subscription model, as opposed to the typical outdated and confusing project model. So you never have to wonder how much any request for any work to be done on your website might cost. It's always $497 per month. And if that's not enough, if you've mentioned you've heard of their services on the Japan Real Estate Podcast, you'll also get 10% off this monthly price for life. Also, and equally important, if not more, you can try out Innovatius for just 1 month then switch them off, on again later if you want, and so forth. There are no minimum subscription terms. Now, if you're a small business owner, managing and growing a website is super distracting and time-consuming, right? That's exactly where Innovations comes in. Robert's team takes care of all of that for you so that you can focus on what you do best. So feel free to email Rob on robert@innovatius.com, and his team will conduct a full SEO and website audit on your site, reveal anything that you should address to increase your website's appeal, and provide you with an easy-to-read detailed report with your own branding so that you can make some informed decisions on your online strategy and watch your business grow as you implement it. So once more, robert@innovatius.com. Drop him a line and get your website reviewed today.
Okay, so just to be sure, this is a better option for me, right? Because I was thinking about it a lot and I didn't have much people to talk about it, so...
If you want to be sure that you're not going to be paying anything out of pocket on a regular basis, I wouldn't go for a loan, yes. Because if you're borrowing at 4 mm-hmm. or 5%, that's the 4 or 5% of income we'd get in a steady environment. And there's going to be mm-hmm. some months where tenants are going to move out, or there's going to be some months where you have to replace something expensive. And during those months, 4 or 5% is just going to be half of the loan payment, right? It also depends on whether it's really a loan for just 10 years or 20 years. If it's a loan for 10 years, then you're paying 4 or 5% a year, but you need to pay a lot more every month, probably more than what you're getting in rental income. So that's something to mm-hmm. factor into as well, is how long you can get the loan for.
Okay, I get it. Okay, so for me, maybe the easiest way to get in is to buy one unit, stay with that program, and maybe buy every year I can buy maybe one more. So that's lead me to another
Or every 2 years and buy something with a better profile, because 2-3 million is scraping the bottom of the barrel. If you save for 2 years and you buy something for 6-7 million, you'll be in better shape with the type of properties you're targeting.
Okay. Yeah, that seems fair. And what about the future? Because I think I want to invest most of my money to Japan. And I was thinking, and I was listening to the podcast and to the YouTube videos, and I don't know if I need to start the company now so I can, from the most early stages, have some history in Japan.
So the only way you'd be eligible for loans from, let's call it typical or classic Japanese lenders, is if you have a company here and you have a Japanese CEO as director of the company, right? So the company upkeep is going to be about $3,000-$4,000 a year. And the directors, the minimum you'll be able to find somebody to act as your director for you would be at least 20,000-30,000 yen a month, probably more like 30,000-40,000. So that's another $3,000-$4,000 a year just for the directorship service. So whatever you're going to be getting a loan for needs to justify that, because you're starting with a minus, I don't know, $6,000-$8,000 a year for the corporate upkeep. If you're making, I don't know, $60,000-$70,000 a year, then that's just 10% for those costs, then it makes sense. But if you're buying anything that's less than $1 million, you're not gonna get $60,000-$70,000 a year. That's a lot of money to pay just for potentially in the future being eligible for financing. I don't think that you want to start a company for these smaller types of investments you're describing. So what I would do is there are some solutions. If you're looking at condo units, there's a lender in Singapore that will let you borrow for condo units without having to start up a Japanese company. If you're looking only at Tokyo condo units, there's another new lender. You might have seen him on one of our last episodes. They will let you borrow to buy condo units in and around Tokyo or any other maybe major big city.
And they also wouldn't require you to set up a Japanese company. So those two options do exist if you want to get a loan before you're a resident. Otherwise, to get attractive investment loans, you need to be a resident of Japan. But nothing you've explained so far mentions moving to Japan or having residency here, right?
Yeah. That's not an option right now. So,
You can set up the company, but if you're doing it just for the purpose of property investment, that's a lot of money to pay every year just for that.
Okay, that's for that, at least. So, okay, and maybe there's some practical questions. If we go through the process, I was reading again and again the manual you sent me. And how is the, after I buy the property, how is the process after it? Like, do I have a Japanese bank account and I receive money
not
there?
Not without residency, like... no. So okay. If you don't have residency, you can't open an individual bank account. And if you don't have a Japanese company, you can't open a Japanese corporate bank account. So you'd normally be relying on ourselves or other companies maybe like ours that will be collecting your rental income, paying your expenses, giving you a statement, and you tell us when you want your money to be sent back home.
Okay, I get it. And do you have some clients from Europe, maybe?
We have a lot of clients from Europe, but I don't think we have anyone from Czech yet.
I hope
we have a lot of we have French, British, Belgium, Switzerland, and Germany from memory.
Okay, and you have a lot of like small investors like me, because when I did my research, I don't understand stocks and other types of investments, and I really love Japan, so this was for me like a logical solution to invest my money. You have some more people like me, like small investors that put
all, yeah, I'd say about like, half about half of our customers are people like you with single or two or three or four units.
Okay, that's fine, that's cool.
I've got a lot of people to put you in touch with once we get down to it, if you want to talk to people about their experience. You can also we have a summit twice a year that's happening in Tokyo if you happen to be here, but also online. So if you join one of those on the streaming channel or physically if you're in the room, there's a lot of people, similar investors, similar profiles like yourself that you'll be able to network with.
Nice. And when it's gonna be?
Next one is 18-19 April.
Okay, I'm just going to mark it maybe. Or you're going to promote it surely. So
we've slowly started to, but if you pre-register now before the tickets go officially on sale, you'll get a bit of a discount. So if you already know you'll be here 18-19 April, or if you'll be available to join online, but it's Japanese time zone, yeah? So you'll have to wake up really early to catch the early ones.
Sure.
Yeah, but if you happen to be in Japan, it'll be perfect. And if not, you can you can network with people in the streaming room. So if you just go to the last email you got, any of the emails you got from us has our website on it. It's on the top of the website. You can pre-register for the discounted tickets.
Oh, sure. Nice. I will check it surely.
Yeah.
Okay. So how we can start the process? Because if we go in without the loan and only with my finance, we can just start the process, I guess. I mean,
it depends on when you want to get started. We're a little bit swamped in the next 2-3 months. We've just hired and training new staffers, so if you need us to do everything on your behalf, or you just need to talk to us and we'll handle the agents and the lawyers and the sellers and do everything on your behalf, that service will be back online in about 2-3 months. If you want to get started if you want to get started earlier than that, then I can put you directly in touch with a foreigner-friendly realtor who'll be handling the purchase in English remotely on your behalf, same as we would have done. Realtors in Japan are very professional, but they're not consultants. Like, he's not going to raise red flags or conduct you. Like, they're not going to tell you what questions to ask. So if you want to work directly with a realtor, you can either work with them on your own, or you can bring us on as consultants for a few hundred bucks, which is also cheaper than having us
cheaper than having us do everything on your behalf. That we can start right away. If you want us to do everything on your behalf, that's a few thousand bucks, and that will be around, I hope, March, April.
Yeah, sure, that's not a problem. It's actually perfect, because at that date, maybe I will go to Japan for a month and a half, maybe. So,
that'd be great.
Yeah. So I was hoping to meet you and maybe go for the summit. Because...
Yeah, for sure. So give us some advance notice. If it's not the summit, I'm not going to be in Tokyo on other dates. So give me some advance notice, and then we can maybe, I don't know, look at some properties, show you around a little bit, depending on where you'll want to be looking at.
Oh, sure. Sure. Super. I mean, I don't have any more questions. So maybe if you have something for me, or you want to ask something for
That was very well explained. I think I understand where you're at. You'll have a lot more questions once we're looking at individual properties and pros and cons. But I think we covered most of the basics. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks. All right. It was productive.
Pleasure, man. So, just let me know when you've got a better idea of which way you're headed and when you're going to be here, and we'll pick it up from there.
Yeah, cool. Okay. Thank you. Bye.
Pleasure. Talk to you soon. Bye.
So there you have it. Two conversations with experienced and less experienced investors here in Japan. Hope you found some value in them, and we also hope to be sharing much more value and conversations with you all in person or online via the stream at the Japan Real Estate Summit's Spring Session, taking place in just 2 weeks' time. That's 18th and 19th April, Saturday and Sunday. Tickets still available for now on summit.realestate.jp.
Now, we can't let you go without telling you all about Yen Loans, our latest sponsor. They're a new non-bank lender offering financing to non-residents of Japan for purchases of Tokyo condominiums, soon to be expanding to other major cities as well. So definitely hit them up if you're looking to purchase in Osaka, Fukuoka, Kyoto, or any other big city too. And that's for any purpose, whether it's a holiday home, investment rental, or a combination of both, without any requirement for residency, a Japanese bank account, a Japanese corporate structure, or representative director, any of these things, and with a streamlined application process too. So reach out to them through the link in our show notes and let them know that you found them on the Japan Real Estate Podcast. And if you're quick enough to be one of the first 10 completed applications, you'll receive a 25% discount. That's 50,000 yen off the 200,000 yen application fee. To qualify, apply through the link in our show notes again, or enter the code JREYL on their website, yenloans.com. And that's it from us for this episode, folks. Huge thank you for tuning in. Please do follow and subscribe to the show if this is your first time listening, and we'd love it if you could like and even share this episode with anyone you think might find interest in it. But even more importantly, we love hearing from you. So please let us know what you thought about this episode or the podcast overall in the comments section here on our social media channels. We've got a very active Facebook group and business page, both under the name Japan Real Estate on Facebook. And that's also the name and URL of our YouTube channel if you'd like to follow us there, Japan Real Estate on YouTube as well. And we'd of course appreciate your rating or review on Spotify or on the Apple Store or wherever you're tuning in from. Hope to have you with us again. Have a great rest of the day or night ahead. Yoshiku.